Time, bitch.
My name is Miss Tiffany Morgan.
Roving away.
It's Troy.
What's going on here?
Just a whole lot of celebrity.
Pause for applause.
Hello, and welcome to
What's the Maple Tea?
The live podcast broadcast where we're cheap and don't pay for extra cameras. Just open extra browsers.
Rowena, that was said in confidence 5 seconds ago. That was said in confidence 5 seconds ago. You know how much I fucking pay for this shit, bitch? It's in American dollars, too.
Ooh, ooh. But at least you charge for story times.
All right, you're canceled now. You're fucking canceled. That's it. We're done. This Maple Tea is over. This was the last episode. You saw it here first.
Excellent.
Can confirm.
Yes, this is the live broadcast podcast. We talk about everything. Kingston drag, RuPaul's drag race, also Tiffany's financial woes, and of course, special guests we talk to. And this week we have the host, the father of the House of Duh, Problem Matthew.
Thank you very much for having me, ladies. I do want to make a small correction.
Oh, okay.
A correction, yes.
The House of Duh was actually founded by the incredibly talented Flora Fawning. Flora Fawning is the matriarch of the House of Duh. I was sexually irresponsible and had a kid first. So
okay, so you are the father of the child of the House of Duh.
Yes.
However, you are not the father of the House of Duh.
No, it was sort of a joint effort. It was Flora's idea and was like, hey, you want to be my brother? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, Flora, I have to tell you something. I'm having a baby.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah. Science can come up with wonderful things these days. Yeah, thus Blow Pony was born.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? It does make sense that Blow Pony was born from a man.
And a science experiment.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
I'm teasing.
He needed a strong father figure, and I have been an absolute deadbeat. So
that's the same father figure that most queer people have. So excellent.
I have an excellent relationship with my father. Hi, Dad. You're not watching. I didn't tell you about this, but yeah, you'll see it eventually.
I don't think my dad has ever watched this either. My daddy doesn't watch this either. My goodness.
Yeah, that's great. Because when you first started drag, I remember there being a patio somewhere. Oh, it was the Daft Brewing.
Yeah, the Drag Agenda.
And you had your parents there.
I did. They begged me to come to a drag show, and I said, fine, you can come to this one. And I explained sort of what was happening for anyone who wasn't there. The Drag Agenda was sort of a surprise drag show proposal from Andy, the partner of Dare de la Femme. She was going to propose to the woman behind Dare de la Femme that night. And so I told my parents, like, I was like, hey, you should come to this event because this is going to be a really special moment for the community and there's got to be a lot of great performers. And it was really funny because my dad tipped me and I was like, I shook my head at him. I was like, no, please. Because I knew I was about to take my shirt off. And so he handed me $5 and I just looked at him with like pain in my eyes. I was like, please, no. And then I like disrobed and he just started laughing. I was like, why? Why today?
If you can't strip in front of your parents, who can you strip in front of?
Oh, dear God. Oh, my God.
It was fine. I told them they're not allowed to come to any more of my shows after that. But they were very happy. My dad was so excited to be at a real drag show. He didn't really know what to do.
Is that me?
What is happening?
Oh, continue.
We have an audience caller. We have an audience caller. This is the live broadcast podcast.
It's my father.
It is Paul Matthew's father.
So what's really funny,
in order to figure out what's going on. What's really
funny is that is my actual work phone. And do you think anyone actually calls? Like, I don't, it must be just a random.
It is after 5 p.m. Whoever is calling.
It must be a
Tiffany Morgan's out of drag idea.
Yeah, it's a marketer. Should we ignore it? It probably won't call again.
I feel like we should ignore it. Yeah.
So first of all, though, I don't know. Did I say that my name is Miss Tiffany Morgan?
We have not introduced ourselves. We just introduced Problem Matthew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Problem Matthew.
Yeah. Maybe I should introduce you then.
Oh, okay. My gosh. Sure. Yeah. Yes.
So over here we have the wonderful Miss Tiffany Morgan. Woo! And the wonderful Miss Rowena Way.
Oh my God, it's me. Hi. You forgot to say that Tiffany is the fertile Tiffany Morgan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The fertile Tiffany Morgan.
And yes, because today is the first day of spring, and therefore she is seeding.
Gross. But is that a euphemism or is that a gardening joke?
It's a gardening joke.
Oh, okay. How exciting for you.
Tiffany can't with me today.
Oh my, no, I can't. I don't understand. I don't. Okay. I love you, Rowena, but I don't understand you Tuesdays. I'm burnt out from the day, and you, for some reason, you're just getting your wings going.
Usually before I come here, I have a drink and then I grab a coffee. So I am both alcohol infused and also caffeinated.
Okay, maybe I should be doing that. Let's. All right, Red Bull vodka is it?
Well, I full disclosure, I had an adult cigarette before I got here, so.
Oh, excellent. I should start doing that as well. All three combined. I wonder what would happen.
Oh, we have a comment on the Facebooks. Love you so much, Dad.
Love you so much, Dad. Love you, Blow Pony. Unless that's one of my other illegitimate children.
I think that's Blow Pony.
Do you have other illegitimate children?
Not that I know about.
Now, who else is in the house of dust? So we have Flora, and we have Blow Pony.
Yes, and then there's myself, and then our paralysis demon fumes for you.
Paralysis? Whose paralysis demon?
All of ours. I think of House of Dot as much as a family, as like a loose collective of people who sort of went, we're all a little strange. How about we live in a house? We don't live in a house. And the biological family, we're not biological family, but so a family can be a sibling, other different sibling, a son, and a demon, right?
In queer culture, we celebrate alternative families all the time.
Yeah.
It's not just modern families, it's alternative modern families.
And I think House of Dot is exemplary of that. I actually feel funny in the House of Dot because I'm the most like traditional drag performer, I guess, because I'm sort of a traditional drag king. And then we got Flora, who does whatever they want all the time. We got Blow Pony, who is a slutty clown. We got Fumes, who is
a chaotic clown.
I made a meme one time that was like three men and a baby, but it was three clowns and some guy. And that's sort of how I feel. And I'm just happy to be included, honestly.
I would watch that skit, by the way. If you were to rewrite the script of three men and a little lady to three clowns and one guy, I would watch that.
We've joked that a House of Dot reality show would be a lot of fun.
Duh. It would just be called duh.
Just like with several U's, several H's, and a bunch of ellipses.
It's like when Christina Aguilera says the 15 syllable version of hey. Oh, sorry, copyright. Yes,
we don't want copyright bots.
I didn't do the same. I didn't do the same.
You didn't, so it's all okay.
And Miss Aguilera's lawyers are watching.
Oh my gosh. Please hire me. I'll come and be the opening act for your Vegas show.
I always feel like someone touched me, but in all actuality, no one is.
See, this is why it's okay when she sings.
In all actuality, no one is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How's it done? So you said, and it was interesting. I want to go back to a word that you used. Instead of like matriarchy or patriarchy, you use matriarchy?
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, because Flora uses they, them pronouns, and they are a parent of the House of Dot. And I was like, what's a good word for a matriarch or a patriarch who's neither. And I was like, matriarch, I guess.
I love that. No, I love that. Let's bring that into the common language. And actually, I like this is something that I suffer through a lot. I used to work with the military. I used to do things for the military. And they don't have a word to be addressed other than sir and ma'am.
Oh.
There's no like official address other than their rank.
Your Highness.
Well, that's the thing is Your Highness, Your Highness, Your Highness, Your Highness. Sorry, that's a sixth reference. Yeah.
I thought they were allowed to be like commander.
Well, you could say their rank. But if you don't know the ranks, then your only way to address them is sir or ma'am. Mm-hmm. And I want a gender neutral one. So I think we should come up with one.
Yeah.
In the union circles, when I used to be a trade union activist, we always would answer a brother and sister. And then we started recognizing that you need some gender neutral terms. So what seemed to have been the appropriate thing at the time, but it did cause some of us a little like, what? Comrade.
Oh, okay.
And we're like, well, we kind of don't want to be associated with the communists, but okay, comrade it is. So
I thought you were gonna say sibling. I thought you were gonna say hello, sibling.
No, comrade.
Associate. Hello, associate.
Hello, associate.
You could just like tap people on the shoulder and be like, person.
Hey you.
Hey you.
why couldn't we use comrade in the behind the stage and be like, comrade problem Matthew, comrade Rowena?
Because I respond to Your Highness.
I also would like also to respond to Your Highness.
Also Sheeple Queen. I could never come up with anything.
Yeah, I think gender neutral terms can actually be a lot of fun because it frees you up to use whatever language you want. Mm-hmm. Personally, I struggle to string words together generally. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, one of these days, if you can think of a gender neutral term for sir or ma'am or madam or whatever, let's put it in the comments. I want to hear it.
I think the going term is mix or an X. I know that.
But that's for like Mr., Mrs., Ms., Miss, Mix, correct? Mm,
true. Yeah, I guess sir or madam doesn't really have.
Comrade work.
Yeah, comrade does work. Pal.
Comrade does work.
Oh,
pal.
I do like to say folks.
Folks. No, dude is technically male.
Well, I don't know. People are using it like interchangeably now. Oh, is it more of a gender neutral?
It's still gendered. Like some people don't really love. I'm an expert on gender.
Guys is used as in everyone.
Oh, hey guys.
It was originally gendered, so it's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey you guys. Yeah.
I've started using girl as a gender neutral. Obviously, in certain contexts, some people don't love it, but like often, particularly if I see like a cishet man behaving in a certain way, I'm like, girl. I don't love that.
I love that. You can use actually, that to me all the time. Thank you.
I take it back. Do not use comrade. Do what I do, sweetie.
Sweetie. I say y'all.
Y'all.
I've just adopted, you know, the ex out. Skirts of Kingston's country nature, and I'm y'all.
I feel like sweet pea works because it's formal, like sir or madam.
It is, yes.
And so, in a business context, if you refer to someone as sweet pea, mm-hmm. you know that you're respecting their rank.
And in that rank, there's type one sweet pea and type two sweet pea.
Oh, what? No, what?
Because when you're diabetic, you have sweet pea.
Do you? I've never had the pleasure of trying it.
Rowena, stop reading my fucking life.
I think she might have been reading your DMs, actually. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Yes. Problem Matthew, how would you save this podcast interview right now?
I think it's going very well.
I think it's going great. I think we should join in song. If you guys know how to harmonize, that's great because I don't.
Okay, but who's starting? Who's leading the song?
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
Wow, you guys look like idiots. I was not being serious. Just kidding. You sounded lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. I automatically go for the low-hanging fruit. I wanted to ask you, so how did you get into drag?
Well, okay, so I had always been a bit of a theater kid. I think when I was a kid, my parents put me in theater camp because they were like, if you're not going to learn social cues like naturally, you're going to learn them manually. So they put me in
A stage left, stage right.
Basically. Yeah. So they put me in acting classes, and I really have always enjoyed doing like improv, acting, that kind of thing. And I had always really liked drag, and I had discovered like Landon Sider and Tenderoni and other drag kings like a few years ago, like probably like 8 or 9 years ago, and gone like, wow, that looks really fun. I'd love to do that. But for multiple reasons, I never did. And then after the pandemic, when I had moved back to Kingston, I thought, well, I've got a lot of friends who do this, like my friend Tony Tequila was doing drag. Flora was doing drag and was like really encouraging me to do it. So eventually I just said, screw it, I'll try out at the open stage. And it went really well. And there's a lot of freedom in being a man, because in my regular personal life, I'm not one. But getting to be a man is fun because men have a lot of privilege to just say and do whatever they like. So not to go on like some sort of feminist rant here, but it was really freeing to be able to sort of be like, yeah, I can be a little scummy, I can be a little sleazy, and have people like celebrate that.
Yeah, for better or for worse, men do get away with more. That is for sure. And now you are a professional man.
Yes, I do. I do get paid for being a man, which other men don't like to hear. But
wait, but, what?
Yeah, it's something I realized not that long ago. I was like, oh my God, people are actually paying me money to be a man. This is like a power that I shouldn't be trusted with. So that's been a really cool experience too. And it's kind of funny. I've had lesbians come up to me and be like, you are so hot. I'm like, you would not like talk to me out in the world. Like, you wouldn't give girl Emily the time of day, but you think probably nothing sexy. And I'm like, well, this is kind of fun and confusing. And
because they're like attracted to you as man in drag, or as like as a woman presenting as a man. Like,
I don't really know what it is. I think it might just be the confidence that a performer can exude, because Problem Matthew does sort of bring out a part of me that's always in there. It just isn't really allowed to come out necessarily, unless I'm performing as him. And it's really like freeing to be able to just go, yeah, I'm the worst man alive. Here I am, and have people enjoy it. It's a cool feeling.
You are the like evil Danny DeVito of dragon kids.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Ever since you've done that snatch game, I realized that is who you are as drag. But like, Danny DeVito is a very lovely gentleman. Like, he essentially adopted Mara Wilson when they were filming Matilda. Yeah,
and well, because her mom was very sick at the time, and so Danny DeVito sort of took Mara Wilson in as Rhea Perlman, his former wife. And they like sort of looked after her during the filming of that movie, and then made sure there was a director's cut version of the movie Matilda available so that Mara Wilson's mom could watch it before she sadly passed away. So like, Danny DeVito is actually just like a lovely person. The version of Danny DeVito that I relate to is the Frank Reynolds of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Sort of that like gruff, shitty person who's like, you know, just not a good guy.
Many men. Yeah.
Wow. You shared a lot. I didn't know anything about Matilda. Danny DeVito was in Matilda. I had no idea.
He actually directed Matilda. He was the dad, and he actually directed the movie.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
educating our youth. Educating our youth.
My special interest is Danny DeVito.
Actually, I wanted to share a story. So I've gotten similar comments from the lesbian community in Kingston.
Shout out to the lesbians. We love you.
Lesbians, honestly, the number one supporters of drag.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, for sure.
Just as like a quick aside before your story. Yeah. The lesbians in Kingston and like just queer women in general and like non-binary people make up a huge part of the drag audience. I don't think that our shows would be attended without you guys. So
thank you.
We love the Beaver Lodge in this house.
We do love the Beaver Lodge. And actually, my story is about a member of the Beaver Lodge. So way back then, before Andy was really into like the going out and producing the queer community in Kingston, she came to one of my drag shows, and it was one of her first like drag shows. She didn't really like drag, and then she watched me perform, and she's like, oh my God, Rowena is so attractive. What am I feeling right now? Do I like drag, or do I just like this woman who's not a woman, who's a man? I'm so confused.
That's kind of the fun thing about drag, is that it allows people to go, huh?
Right.
What is this feeling? it's an interesting thing, and it's sort of fun to watch people's reactions when you're in drag, especially if they know you outside of drag and they see you and they're like, what? It's a cool thing.
So I have maybe it's a little bit too much of a personal question, but we're live and I'm going to ask the question anyway.
If you don't want to answer it, just say something really deflective into the microphone.
Just stomp and leave.
Just walk out.
Just be like, I did not sign up for this. But whenever I think about drag, drag tends to be, you start it when you're like, in youth, you're 19, 20, you're just going off to college, university. What?
I didn't start drag until I was 26.
Okay, well, this is what I want to know. This is what I want to know, though. Like, you know.
Tiffany, you never ask a woman her age.
I didn't ask her your age. I didn't, but
and you're a professional man, remember?
And you're a professional man.
So it's okay.
What's your question, Tiffany?
I was wondering if you had any advice to give to people, like, you know, if they are like, I'm not.
What? Sorry, I have my go-to response, but this is not a question to me.
For someone who was not 18 years old.
When I started drag. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Because so I did start drag when I was 33. I'm an old lady. But I would say just go for it. Like one of the things that I found so encouraging, I'm not big on Drag Race. I like it, but it's not my favorite, but I love Dragula. And one of the queens on my favorite season is a queen called Louisiana Purchase, who started drag when she was 36. And she's one of the most beautiful, talented queens. I love her. I think she's amazing. And she's now in her mid-40s, and she's very active in the scene. And seeing her compete on the show, like, in her early 40s, I was like, oh, okay. It's not unreasonable to pursue something new a little later in life. Mm-hmm. I feel like, for many reasons, in my 30s, I'm having a little bit of a renaissance of myself, and I just started doing burlesque as well, which is a lot of fun. And I think if you want to do something, just go for it, and don't go into it having like any grand designs of like being famous or being the best at it. Just do it because it makes you happy, and don't worry about like your perceptions of yourself, like in your state of life, like whatever your age is, or that people are going to think you look silly, because you are going to look silly, particularly in the performance sphere. But that's okay. You've got one life and you're going to look silly at points. I'm sure I look very silly right now, but that's the risk you take.
You actually look like a very, very fashionable prison inmate.
Thank you so much. That's usually what I'm going for.
I'm so glad.
Okay. I feel good now that I asked that question.
Like, how do I ask this without making her feel 1,000 years old?
Well, and then Rowena beside me with her looks, and I was like, oh dear Lord, did I just ask a really terrible question?
No, there's no such thing as a terrible question, just questions people don't want to answer.
And that was a really great answer.
That was a very great answer.
See? You can start drag at any age.
You can start drag at any age. However, that being said, if you're starting drag older, don't just do a death drop.
Don't do it.
Honestly, like, unless you are a dancer or someone who has practiced.
Practice.
You can do a dip, not a death drop.
Do the stretches.
Don't do it. Because you only have two knees. That's it.
And two hips.
That's it. You only have two knees.
And two legs.
One of the benefits of being a drag king is because no one knows who we are or what we do necessarily, and that's changing. But people don't expect death drops or cartwheels or anything necessarily. And so I think being a drag king offers us a little more freedom to preserve our knees and also come out with like a puppet or a fake wiener or whatever it is that we're going to do. And people go, is that a boy or a girl? I don't know what I'm seeing. Anyway, that's
the answer is yes.
Yes.
The answer is yes. You actually asked mentioned something there that I'm like, yeah, we should probably mention it here. Like, I know we're amongst friends, and everyone who's joined us right now, they know what a drag king is, but
so a drag king is traditionally, and this is different, is somebody who performs masculinity in drag. I would have said a woman who portrays a man in drag, but that's obviously not the case. Many drag kings are transmasculine, or there are even cis men who perform as drag kings, but there's a lot of extremely talented drag kings of all like genders. So women, trans men, trans masculine non-binary people, trans feminine non-binary people, cis men, it's the gamut is run. So basically somebody who performs masculinity in drag is what I would say a drag king is, as opposed to a drag queen, who is someone who typically performs femininity in drag.
And sometimes you just can't tell.
And sometimes
because people don't have to be drag king or drag queen. You can also be drag clown or drag artist or drag thing.
And that's one of the things that I like about the House of Does. All of the performers do something different and are of all like varieties of gender and gender presentation. And it's just really cool. It's one of the neat things about drag is the sort of diversity of the art form. And like I do a more traditional form of drag, but that's where I feel comfortable. And I have great admiration for drag themes, drag monsters, mixed performers, AFAB drag queens, AMAB drag kings. I just think it's a really cool art form.
We had a comment from Instagram. I love Dragula so much.
Yes, we also have a Love You Problem Matthew from Bewitched.
Oh,
I did miss that one. Oh,
yeah, yeah, it was up higher.
Now, you did kind of touch base that on some of your drag performances, like taking your shirt off for your father. And
I did not take my shirt off for my father. I have a very normal, healthy relationship with my father. Thank you very much. What I was going to say earlier was my dad introduced me to drag via Rocky Horror and Priscilla.
Oh my God.
And Priscilla? Oh, okay. Yeah. So the movie. Australian movie. And he was actually very excited to be at a drag show and did not really know what to do when he saw Sherri Ann Hex and just was like, hello, Sherri, and gave her a big hug. And he was just so pumped. And I think he finds it annoying that I'm like, no, you can't come to listen. There's going to be stuff, and you're not allowed to tell me.
Boundaries.
I actually think he would love to come to one of your shows. Like, I think both my parents would be thrilled. It's just the type of drag I do is a little raunchier than maybe I want them to see. They are still my parents.
All ages shows.
Me, well, I mean, doing an all ages show.
You could if you want to.
Well, I did because I didn't know the comedy show was all ages when
it really wasn't though. It was all ages, not family friendly.
That's true.
I do like if you're watching and you're planning on coming to a show and you want to bring your kids, just know that if a show is labeled all ages, there will still be content that may be adult.
Mm-hmm.
But if a show is labeled family friendly, it means that it is family friendly. Like,
are you drawing that line in the sand? Are you drawing that line?
No, I'm saying in Kingston, if you're coming to Wyatt, one of my shows, that is the difference.
You signed a waiver.
You're signing a waiver by buying a ticket to an all ages show that you are accepting that there will be some content that could be above 14A.
Okay.
However, there is a family friendly show coming out in April.
Yes.
At the Italo Canadian Club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw that advertised.
Yeah. And you don't have to be Italian to go.
No, you don't. You don't have to be Italian or Canadian.
That is correct. Yeah, that's correct. You don't have to be Canadian either.
You can just be and just go there. But tying back into the question, though. So if I was going to go to a drag show with Problem Matthew, what would I be expecting? What would I be expecting other than taking your shirt off?
Something raunchy.
Oh.
Something very silly. Like I would describe my drag as raunchy, silly, creative, not particularly dancey. I'm not much of a dancer, but still entertaining. I like to think that I'm a fairly entertaining performer, and I like to pick really dumb songs to do. And so, like, for example, at the comedy show that we performed at the Broom Factory not that long ago, I did a number where it's the Rob Cantor song Shia LaBeouf, where it's talking about you're walking in the woods, there's no one around, and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eye, you spot him, Shia LaBeouf. Anyway, I made a Shia LaBeouf mask that I wore on the back of my head and fought myself with a knife. So that's the kind of thing that I do in drag, is rural dumb.
Okay, because I missed that. I was in the back green room and I was like, oh, I'm missing this Shia LaBeouf performance.
I'll probably do it again.
It was very funny. I got the pleasure of seeing most of the performances, at least half of them.
It was a really fun show. I was sad I didn't get to see Hilary Yass's numbers, apart from the improv number we all did together. But I would have liked to, because she's a heck of a performer.
Is this improv?
Is that improv?
That is one small piece of what improv could be. Yes.
There we go. That was my first time doing improv. And then afterwards, I was like, Was that improv?
It was my first time doing improv with an AI-generated
script.
Prompt. Again, was it a script?
It was a script, and then I didn't use any of the actual dialogue in it.
Oh, okay.
So I just used the actual the stage directions.
Gotcha.
For it, yeah.
It was an interesting like way of doing improv. I had never done it like that before, this is challenging, but like really fun.
Yeah, and that's. I just wanted it to just play. That's essentially what I want.
Yeah. Although if you had a sense of what improv was,
it could or could not have matched that description. Could or could not have matched that description. You never really know. You never really know.
It's like, I think I've seen commercials for the improv show on CBC and I don't remember this happening, but
now I have a recommendation. So you say that you don't dance.
Okay.
But neither does Tiffany. And yet she has signature, copyrighted, trademarked, yes. Both. She's done both.
Yes. Tiffany absolutely dances. She does a little spin with her hands over her head.
Yeah.
She actually does pretty cool fan tricks.
She does do cool fan tricks, thanks, yes. But what I'm saying is that you could just come up with four signature dance moves that you can do.
I often joke that I do have a signature dance move, which is just putting my arms tight to my side and like shimmying.
Oh, I have seen you do that.
Yeah, I do it a lot. Yeah. And I notice when I'm on stage and I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I'm doing the arm shimmy again. Mm. Oh, everyone's going to notice. And I was like, oh, no, they won't. No one's paying attention, but you just confirmed my greatest fear. So thank you.
No, that's okay. I have a signature dance move as well. It is to go down into a deep squat and then touch my vagina and then come back up. So much so that there is one photographer that we both worked with, Becky Hinch, mm-hmm. who has caught me in that position so many times that if she doesn't get a photo of me doing it at a show, she says it wasn't a Rowena show.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a scathing indictment.
It really is. So I make a point of touching myself on a regular basis.
I mean, it's healthy to do so.
It is healthy. It's emotional and physical and mental release.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And physical, yes, okay.
Did I say that?
I think you did say that, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, emotional, physical, okay, physical, yes, yes. Yeah. All right. So let's look for the alkaline, non-alkaline batteries. And oh my God.
I learned something new at a. Sometimes you learn things at shows that you're hosting when the audience like talks to you.
And you actually wait.
I listened to the audience.
You listened to the audience?
I did.
Rowena Way listens to. I don't believe.
I do. It's called audience interaction. It goes both ways.
Well, I just like you talk to them and gave them your STDs.
Do not out me on a live podcast. No one knows.
No, no, me, sexual. me. Oh, just right, like
of course. Yes.
Me.
Oh, wait, what?
Me.
Is this?
Wait, are you guys queer? What the?
I know. What the fuck?
I don't. I think I gotta go. Sorry, guys.
Is there a whole bunch of bisexuals in my? In my sweet pea studio?
No, I am bisexual.
Oh, you're
bisexual. I'm like Kinsey Five bisexual, but I'm bisexual.
Oh yeah, you talked about that at Queer Pro.
I did, yeah.
What is the Kinsey rating for if you're like basically right down the middle?
It'd be like a 3.5. So there is no right in the middle for Kinsey.
Oh.
So Kinsey is 1-7 or 1-6, sorry.
1-6.
1-6. Okay. So 1 being completely heterosexual and 6. It's not perfect. Kinsey scale does not take into account the massive range of sexualities and diversities of gender.
Or non-sexuality.
Well, or non-sexuality.
How do I get like an A+?
Be a human.
Frank, I'm never going to get that A+.
Be a human. I'm caring, respectful.
Yeah. Again, I'm never going to get that A+.
Fighting climate change is how you get an A+.
I'm vegetarian, what? So my carbon footprint is on average lower than other people. See, I win. Okay.
You win. A+.
I'm the best person in the world.
I donated once to PETA.
Sorry, you ate a PETA?
I
was it vegetarian?
Was it gluten free?
I donated once to PETA.
Like no elaboration.
No elaboration here.
But yeah, I don't know where I was going with anything that I was saying. And I'm completely off now.
Okay, now you know how I feel.
Yeah, I was trying to remember what the topic was. I can't remember what it was.
The topic is problematic for fuck's sake. They're right here. We'll talk about, I really want to, so we were talking about touching ourselves. And, okay. And we're talking about.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. No, I remember now. So at the drag show where I was talking to the audience, doing audience interaction.
Oh, that's where we're going. Yes. Okay.
If you want to test your sex toys in order to know whether or not the vibration is going to be strong enough for your body, you test it on your nose.
Oh, I have also heard this.
Yeah, apparently you have as many nerve endings in your nose as you do in your like genital region. So you just test it on your nose.
I guess doing that will get me less kicked out of the store than my method.
Yeah, don't put it inside you.
Lesson learned.
Oh my God.
Paul Matthews no longer allowed at Sensations or Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island. Oh, they're not a sponsor. Island. They're not a sponsor. Stop it.
Sorry.
Dragshow.ca. I think this actually goes into the conversation, not necessarily of a drag king, but you are just exploring. And I really want to know a bit more about your exploration into burlesque.
Yes. What would you like to know?
Because you just was it your first show recently?
I did a group show in October because I participated in a class under the tutelage of the extremely talented Rhapsody Blue. Mm-hmm. So I did a group number, really enjoyed it, and ended up doing a solo class. And so a couple weeks ago was my solo debut, and I did what's called a reverse peel, where instead of taking clothes off, I put clothes on. Which I don't know if the audience really understood what I was doing, but it was really fun. And so my burlesque name is Demi DeVito, after Demi Lovato and Danny DeVito, because I feel like I embody both of their spirits equally.
I love that. I love that we've been talking about Danny DeVito all night. And that is your burlesque name.
Danny, if you're listening, I love you. Please give me money.
Suddenly I'm like, is this like...
Is this weird Al annihilation?
Yes, it is.
Did you know that Annihilation is blocked by Cher?
Restraining order. What?
Is she?
Blocked by Cher?
on Twitter.
That's so cool,
right? How do you get that? Like, how does someone
were they just sharing Weird Al Yankovic stuff on just shares?
No, I think they said something antagonistic and share blocked them. But anyway,
shout out to Annihilation. That's hardcore,
right?
But burlesque and drag, like I know from my experiences here in Kingston that when there was no gay bars and I was the only drag queen in town, there was a lot of shows where I was a drag artist and then burlesque artist and then burlesque and then, you know, sort of thing. So there's this lovely kind of synchronicity sort of thing.
Yeah, I've often said that I think of drag and burlesque as sisters because they're very, like, I think it takes a lot of vulnerability to do either art form because, you know, historically drag has been like more underground. It's having a bit of a renaissance now, but it's an art form that is like by and for queer people. And historically burlesque has been an art form by and for women. And that's changing. Like burlesque, like drag is becoming more diverse, but they still sort of hold true to being an art form created by groups that are marginalized, and all the power is held by the performers, which I think is amazing. And I think that actually in Kingston, drag and burlesque should be working together because I think that they're similar art forms that require a ton of creativity and a hell of a lot of courage. And I'd love to see more collaboration between the two scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Burlesque has been kind of cool because Problematic actually allowed me to feel more comfortable in like my femininity because I've always joked that like I'm a woman in the same way that Battlefield Earth is a movie because it's like it's not a very good one.
Is it a movie or a historical documentary?
Well, it depends who you ask. I'm sure L. Ron Hubbard would have a divergent view of that, but he's dead. So, burlesque has been fun because it's like another aspect of my personality that I can explore. Like Problem Matthew is the more masculine and Demi DeVito is the more feminine, but they're both equally stupid, which and like I was taking my shirt off in drag anyway and I was like, well, this is the logical next step. So it's been really, really fun and I'm excited to do more. I find the pace of burlesque is a little slower. There's fewer numbers that you have to do in a show and they tend to be a little bit more involved because, you know, they have to be very choreographed. And you have to know like exactly when your cues are because you got to make sure that your clothes come off appropriately. And that's not to say that drag isn't the same way. Drag takes a hell of a lot of polish too. But I find that the pace of them is different. And so it's kind of nice to have a sort of more adrenaline-y, fast-paced performance, and then to sort of slow down and focus on like something that takes a little longer and is a little more like, I don't even want to say detail-oriented because drag is very detail-oriented, but it's different, something a little bit different. So it's kind of nice to be able to embrace both things.
I too like taking off my clothes in multiple different
situations. I think we need to start a hashtag or something. I want to see Rowena in pasties.
Oh,
Rowena in pasties. There's literally a photo.
It's literally
in the project that we're all doing. Wait,
there is a photo. There is a photo out there of you in pasties. I forgot about
it. It's a very good photo, too. I look like Madonna. Like, that was my whole point.
I remember I helped you put that costume on.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Look like Madonna. What era?
Current day Madonna?
No,
Papa Don't Preach Madonna.
Papa Don't Preach Madonna.
Oh, yeah, way back when.
No.
You don't think so?
I think, yeah, Starving Madonna somewhere.
Starving Madonna. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for telling me.
Wait, are we all opening up our phones now and being like, oh,
I'm getting the photo to show you. You're looking for the photo. Not my news.
Well, we're going to take this moment.
I don't even
want to know that you have nudes on that phone. I'm like, why?
Rowena nudes? I want to see.
Oh, yes, the white pasties. And they got the tassels.
They haven't seen it yet.
They got the tassels on them too.
Yes, I remember that look. Very nice.
Right? That was my Madonna homage.
So now you just need to learn how to make them spin.
That was true. I don't currently only know how to make the lower part spin. I don't know how to make my nipples spin.
Oh, but yeah, you know.
I watched meatspin.com way too many times as a kid. That's why I'm gay.
You know what's funny? I was listening to the Rain St. Cloud interview prior to coming in. You mentioned Meatspin in the episode Rain St. Cloud was in, and like he and you had a very similar conversation.
I forgot about that.
Weirdly, I think Meatspin made me gayer.
Honestly, yeah. Honestly, yeah. But I think it made me more femme because the penis in that is so perfectly trimmed. Like the hair, I was just like, this person takes care of themselves and I want to do that too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely started trimming my penis.
Just so everyone in the audience knows, Tiffany just opened up meatspin.com. No. There is now a penis spinning on her computer.
I was like, do I share this?
Like, look at that perfect thong tan line. Look at that perfectly like cultivated, like literally, like it's very like
it's a beautiful penis.
It's a beautiful penis, and it's going around and around and around. It is now in the comments. So if you're watching. It failed to post that.
apparently, it goes everywhere.
Community standards.
Okay, that's thank you. Thank you for telling me about that.
Of course, it would be the episode I'm on where something goes.
Are we still live? Standards. Are we still live?
Yeah, I
someone
think we
throw,
are.
Someone throw it in the chat.
Someone just like, send us a yes.
Yeah,
someone send
like, us a are yes. Are we still live? Are we still live?
Going back to penises, yes. Doing drag has really made me appreciate the penis in a way that I didn't before.
Oh.
Because one of the first things I bought when I started doing drag was a big old packer.
Yes.
And because I'm a bigger person, I got one that was fairly large to be proportional to my hips.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the largest one I could get. It's about 8 inches long.
Jesus. Good for you.
Thank you. You know, I figured go big or go home. But
that's what I tell my hookups.
And now we're back to your porno photos on your phone.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, exactly.
But having it has really made me appreciate what people with penises go through.
It's in the way, isn't it?
It's very in the way. Every time I'm at a drag show and I have to go to the bathroom, I'm like, okay, I have to think about where this thing's going.
It's going in the toilet.
It has gone in the toilet a couple times.
It's just going into the toilet. Like, it's going to touch the rim of the bowl. It's going
Drag king problems.
And don't you hate it in the summer months and it gets really, really sweaty down there?
Well, no. See, I got a whole system of multiple pairs of underwear to keep it in place.
Okay. See, this is my thing with boobs is that it gets really sweaty up here when I usually don't get sweaty here. Usually I'm just like under here sweaty.
So can I confess something? So since money has been plastic, it's been pretty easy to be like take it out of the boobs and wipe it down. But two stories. One, when money was not plastic and it was fiber based, it was always fun taking it out of the boobs because it was soaked and then you're like, I need to hang this to be able to use it later on. And then when they made it into plastic, for some reason I'm a little concerned that my breasts are carcinogenic because I had a $20 bill in there and then when it came out it was in multiple pieces. And I was like, how did my breasts decide to chew that up in there? Does anyone have any ideas of how that happened? Like,
well, as a breast haver, they're very dangerous.
They're very, but they're safe though. Like, I feel okay to put my phone in there.
Well, the bra is just nature's pocket. That's what I've always said. I put shit in there all the time.
It is the over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's also the over-the-shoulder wallet, phone, keys, loose change holder.
It literally, when people hand me things when I'm in drag, I literally say, I'm just going to put it in my purse and then I shove it in my boob.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just put it in my pocket.
Oh, she wears pockets.
Whatever.
This dress has
what do you call that? My lycra. I just stick it into the lycra.
Your tights.
My tights.
Your
my
pants.
Tights.
Your
my,
pants.
My lycra. My lycra. Panties. Oh, I was trained well. You know, put lycra on it all the time.
So you said that you're not a huge Drag Race person.
Yeah.
But you are a Dragula person.
Yes.
Have you been watching this season of Drag Race?
like, I've been getting updates from Blow Pony. I think that's a good update. I should have done my research before I came. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. There was only one thing in last week's episode that I wanted to talk about today.
Oh, and what is that?
That was something that happened with one of the contestants spilling their truth about their diagnosis with HIV.
Okay.
And this happened when they were getting ready for the final runway and the challenge. And the one contestant, Q, was talking about their history and how 2 years ago, I guess it would be 3 years ago now, they were diagnosed with HIV. And then the other contestant, Plain Jane, looks at her and says, "Thanks, Mama. Thank you for spilling."
Oh, this is that thing that everyone is
this
memeing.
Is the meme that everyone is going around
thanks,
doing.
Thanks, Mama. Yes. Thanks for spilling?
She'd be like, "Oh my God, Tea Mama. Thanks for spilling."
Oh my God. I didn't realize that was about like a heartfelt moment of someone disclosing their HIV status.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. And I've seen it made into many memes now, and I love the memes, but do we think that this person just does not understand social interaction?
Plain Jane is the villain of this season, are they not?
Well, they are the vocal villain, but the actual villain is gone.
Oh.
Yeah, one is the sly villain, one is the actual, like, out in front, like, "I'm going to tell you shit to your face" villain.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I need to catch up. The good thing is, this is not a spoiler for me because I have ADHD and I will forget. So
you know what you won't forget? "Look at my body, look at my body, look at my body, look at my body. Don't I look sexy? Don't I look sexy?
Stop it. Okay, you're right about that. Before the show started, Rowena showed me a not very good song, but it's going to be in my head forever. And to everyone I work with, I am so sorry.
It is.
And I apologize to everyone. Tomorrow, I'm going to be absolutely insufferable at work.
It's the new Rickroll. Except it's the body roll.
All right. So remind me again what this meme is. Is this all over the place? I don't know about this meme yet. Thanks, Mama.
Or Slay Mama, thanks for spilling.
Oh, okay. So that's a meme now. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see.
All I know is the meme that is like, "I'm Tiffany Morgan. Of course I get up and water my plants." That meme.
Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling. That's the meme.
Oh, that's about.
My favorite one is the Jennifer Coolidge one where it's like, "These gays, they're trying to murder me." And then the Italian man's like, "Mama, kudos for saying that, for spilling."
The meme that we were talking about the other day, do you guys remember the Daddy Tool meme?
Yes.
It's like a guy, I think it's from a prank channel, and there's this older, like, middle-aged man who's yelling at these people who are on their property. And then this tall, like, very effeminate person with, like, sort of, like, silky hair and a beard goes, "Wait, Daddy, chill." And the guy goes, "What the hell is even that?" And we were talking about it at work yesterday, and it was, like, an OG gaming that I'm a big fan of.
That is really good.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to start saying, like, "Daddy, chill."
It's a classic. And if somebody responds, "What the hell is even that?" then you'll know that they know the meme.
Yep.
Whatever happened to planking? That's all I want to know.
That wasn't a meme.
That was a meme?
No.
That's a meme.
Well, I think a meme is now an internet thing. Planking was an internet thing. Or, like, planking was the thing you had to do physically.
And take photos and share it with everyone on the internet. It was an internet thing.
It was a cultural moment.
It's a meme.
It's a moment.
I don't know if you know what. Do you know what a meme is?
No.
I don't think you do.
I really don't. Honestly, I'm not down with the lingo. I just learned that the opposite of yeet is yoink.
Yeah.
And I said that to a group of 17-year-olds when I was teaching a spin class, and they're like, "What?"
I think we talked about that in backstage at the comedy
show.
Yeah,
that was us. Yeah.
I
still think you're pulling one over on me. I don't think that it's actually yoink. I think that I just went and talked to, like, all these 17, 18-year-olds at Queen's University, and they're like, one of them agreed with me, and like 20 were like,
"Listen, gaslighting is one of my favorite hobbies, and I promise I wasn't gaslighting you."
Oh my God, gaslighting is such a good hobby.
It really is.
Yeah. It's such a good hobby.
My boss is from the States, and I sometimes like to tell him untrue things about Canada just to see like how long it takes him. And he started to catch on. So now when I actually tell him something true, like we were talking about William Lyon Mackenzie King and how he had seances, he was looking at me like, I don't think so. And I was like, no, literally, here's his Wikipedia page.
Yeah, so now when you're saying something true, you just have to say, kudos, mama, slay, thanks for killing.
Unfortunately, I am going to start saying that, and I'm probably going to start singing that horrible song you showed me, and it's all your fault.
This is the cultural impact of What's the Maple Tea. Speaking of What's the Maple Tea, my name is Rowena Way.
Oh, okay.
It's the time.
Is it that time, Rowena Way? Isn't that time?
My name is Rowena Way. You can find me at Rowena Way and at rowenaway.com. All my upcoming shows are there. And you are our special guest.
I'm Problem Matthew, and you can find me at Problem Matthew with two T's on Instagram.
And then, of course, the Sweet Pea Studio owner herself.
Mm-hmm. Get the fuck out. My name is Miss Tiffany Morgan. You can find me at Tiffany.com, TYFFANIE.com, or on a street corner near you. Oh, wait. Or is that Rowena?
No, that's me. That's my street corner.
I'm the pimp behind Rowena Way.
Queens and Montreal is my street corner. The zoo. Come on.
The zoo is on fire.
Did you know? This is my parting thought for everyone. Did you know that when I was in university, university, I went to the zoo for the first time because my friends, the plaza.
The plaza.
Okay. Which is now the strip club. It still is the gentleman's club.
It's the only gentleman's club in town.
So I was not out. I was going with all of my straight friends. I still have straight friends, but now I'm out to my straight friends. Anyway, I went with my straight friends. You were not allowed to tip the strippers at that time. You had to, if you wanted to tip the strippers, lie down on the stage and put the money in your hand or in your mouth or just like hold it so that they could take it from you. But you weren't allowed to like put it in their thongs or anything.
No.
You had to wait for them to come and grab it from you as you lay on the stage.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to give the stripper money or performer money, you had to be a part of the show on the stage. And as a like an 18, 19 year old, I think I had a fake ID, 18 year old, who did not really understand sexuality and was a little uncomfortable. It's really awkward when you start to get hard on stage in front of everybody at the strip club while holding money in your hand to tip the stripper. Thank goodness for tight pants.
Why am I not surprised? You are a full-on exhibitionist since you were born.
Anyway, that's my parting thought for everybody. If you're tipping your strippers, tip them handsomely because they are doing really difficult work, just very like drag and burlesque.
Yes. And catch us. All the upcoming shows. So, Problem Matthew, do you have an upcoming program?
So, I might be at the April open stage.
The last open stage at the grad club until September.
Oh, really? I thought May.
No, they're closing in May.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then Blow Pony is going to be hosting a lip sync battle on April 19th.
Ooh.
So if you would like to see local performers and some out of towners do a lip sync battle for a cash prize, you should come check that out. I am not intending to win, but if I do, you heard it here first.
By like audience vote or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. So you have to come out and vote for your favorite Problem Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you don't,
fist in air.
This is also an audio podcast. Yes. Shakes fist aggressively.
You
asterisk shakes fist. Asterisk.
Cloud in the sky. And you know, I'm just totally reminded because we're talking about the grad club. Donate to the grad club if you can.
Because a 400% rent increase over the course of a year and a half is craziness.
Yeah.
And the grad club has historically been an exceptionally kind venue to drag performers. Mm-hmm. It's been a place where the local drag scene has had a chance to grow and develop. And it would be a real shame to lose that space. So if you've got anything, do donate to them because they are one of the best venues in Houston for drag.
They truly are.
Bueno. All right.
thank you all for listening to
What's the Maple Tea?
Good night, everyone. Thank you, Problem Matthew.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye. Bye. Thank you.